Oh yeah, what is going on, everybody? Oops, let me turn that off right there. Sorry about that. Hey, what is going on? It is Thursday night. I am Boxman. It is Wrestling Outlet. I hope everybody has had a good week so far. If not, maybe this will make it better. I don't know. I doubt it, but maybe it will. Anyway. Anyway, what
Let's
is
keep expectations reasonable.
I mean, I doubt it will make it better, but it could. It could. If this is what you've been waiting for all week, we are here. It is Thursday night. I am Boxman once again. And of course, that means across from me, the voice you just heard, the voice of this generation. It is.
It's me. It's Mark. Hello. Hi.
Oh, yeah. That's it. It's all fucking.
Well, I mean, you got the nickname in. It's. Super generation, the one, the only. I'm Smart Wahlberg. How are you?
Jesus Christ, I gave you like the fucking Pepsi entrance and you fucking came in like a fucking RC Cola.
No, well, you did be better than I thought you were, because I was going to say, yeah, I was a bad big tab energy. On that.
All right. You came in like a tab. All right. Hey, tab in the 80s was fucking huge. I don't think you realize how big tab cola in the 80s was. Movies were having tab. I mean, the tab was big back in the 80s, my man.
You are 110% correct. I do not know the significance of tab in the 80s.
Oh, man. When it came to colas, the diet cola, tab was it, my man.
I mean, I guess so. I mean, because, like, for a while there, diet soda was really fucking terrible, because, like, Diet Coke is fucking awful. Diet Dr. Pepper is pretty solid. Mm. Now everything is just, like, the zero sugar sodas, because it's, like, zero calories, but it's still relatively, it tastes about good enough, at least.
I'm honestly not a big soda drinker at all. Like, I'm the iced, like, I'll drink iced tea, but I don't even care for that. I'm more of a, just water.
Yeah, and water's good too.
I know how much alcohol I consume, so I try to drink water to counter that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always been my philosophy. Not so much with the water, but like especially like the big hangover cure for a lot of people is to go out and get some like greasy type food. And, like for me, it's always been like if I get like really hungover, I want to get some fruit. Just like make a peace offering to my body for what happened the night before. It's like here's a banana, here's an apple.
Fruit's
get
good.
The shit back on track.
Fruit's good. Got the natural sugar in it. You know, you grab an apple. But I'll tell you what, the best thing to grab after a good night of drinking, if you can grab one and your stomach can handle it, is a V8. I swear to God, that vegetable drink.
Yeah, the taste, I can't do the taste.
Again?
Like sober, hungover, any of it.
Again, if your stomach and your palate, I guess, can handle it, a V8 in the morning, oh my God, it will literally turn your fucking hangover around.
Mm.
There's a lot of fucking nutrients and shit in there. But if you can do it, I'm telling you now, it is a hangover helper.
That I'm surprised that there's not such a thing, like a spinoff of Hamburger Helper, the Hangover Helper.
Well, there kind of is. There's something called Never Hungover.
Mm.
We've got it here. Now, the place that sells it is based out of Texas. Matter of fact, used to be my brother-in-law's account. He would do all the shrink film for him. You know the... like a 5-hour energy,
mm-hmm.
The little bottle, it has a little sleeve that has the ingredients and all that stuff around it. It's printed. It's just called a shrink sleeve. That's what those are called. Those, my brother-in-law actually used to do those for that company.
Right on.
So, and that was when they were first getting kind of off the ground. But I got many samples of those, and holy shit, do they work. I mean, they really work.
Very good.
So if you can get your hands on some of those never hungovers, they're worth it. They work. They do work. So anyway, folks, it's a little different of a show tonight. I've got a, I went from a 49 inch television monitor to a 27 inch monitor. I turned on my monitor when I came home this last week, and there was a giant line running through the middle. One of my kids threw something at it. I am 100% guaranteed that's what happened. So we happen to have a little 27 inch curved monitor hanging around the house. So, weird. Everything looks kind of small to me. I know you guys can probably see way more of a glare on my glasses than you used to, but I apologize. And I don't know, but that's pretty much it, man. It's just been a it's been another fucking weird week. Not the biggest news week in wrestling, but we do have some, we have a birth to talk about. We have a few other little things to talk about. We've got Billy Corgan to get into, of course, in the NWA, NXT, a little bit of news on the CW network that we're going to tie into a few of those. And, of course we do have huge news at the end of this show, and I'm going to leave it right at that. Huge news. I mean,
huge indeed, yes.
Huge. Huge. That's right, baby. Huge. Huge news.
I say two huge news briefs.
Huge. Huge. That's right, baby. We're going to get to it later. But in the meantime, Mark, I guess we can do what we got to do and start kicking this news off. What do you say?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Let me get this here. Now, once again, folks, if I make a few little faux pas in the follow along, the screen's much smaller. I apologize. But let's do what we got to do here. Anyway, let's start off with some good news in the wrestling world. Corey Graves and Carmella have welcomed their first child into this world, a boy. They have welcomed into this world. And the name is Dimitri Paul Polinsky. Nice name. Not a very not a roll off the tongue name, but not a bad on the tongue name either. You know what I mean?
I'm not gonna lie, they kind of struck me as like an 8 Caden type of family that would like just give their kids one of those like new sounding names.
Oh my lord, the dogs. Folks, I'm sorry about the dogs and the crying. My
like Xander or some shit. They seem like the kind of people who would name their kids Xander.
I don't know. Maybe, but obviously they went with Dimitri. I like Dimitri.
Not bad.
No, not bad at all. I like Dimitri. Polinsky, I did not realize that was, I'm assuming that's Corey Graves' real name, Polinsky? Did he, or is that Carmella's name?
No way of knowing. Let me look. I'm going to guess Corey Graves.
I think it is Corey, and very nice for them, man. I know this feeling. I know this feeling well. Corey's name?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Very good. Like I said, man, I know this feeling. I know a lot of dads out there know this feeling of, but Corey's been through this more than once. We do know he's got other kids, but, it doesn't matter this feeling, even if it's your, I mean, if it's your fucking 12th kid, the feeling of seeing your child for the first time is hard to explain. As a matter of fact, there is no explaining it. There's no explaining it. It's an amazing thing. So there you go. 11.8.23 pound. That is a big baby, 11 pounds. That is a big, chunky baby. So go Carmella. 8 pounds, 21 inches. So... they got a tall baby coming out of there, I'm telling you right now.
Gonna have to get Bob Vila in there to repair that.
Could it be a soccer player? Oh, yeah, yes, it is. Could it be a soccer player? Yeah.
Big ass baby.
Sorry, folks, a little bit of a little Billy Madison in there. Noe, my man, and Norab already in the chat room starting off early. I appreciate both of y'all coming in. Norab, my man, what's going on? Noe, you're the fucking man, bro. That's all I got to fucking say. That's all I can say. You are the fucking man, bro. Miss hanging out in the office with you. I do, man. I do. Me and Noe used to hang out all day in the office doing work, getting shit done. Noe would be out there getting shit done on the forklift in the warehouse. He'd come on in the office, get more shit done. I'd be in there hitting my vape, getting fucking high.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. But me and Noe used to fucking just jam music, chill, and get fucking work done. That's what me and Noe used to do back in the day, man.
I seen Norab got in trouble with the Google police. I saw it because I seen warning NSFW and then message deleted by Google moderator. The fucking crack Google staff is patrolling the boards.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Norab's out there getting in trouble, starting shit, telling us all about the Bill Body and all the drama going on there. But we don't really care about that because
we're just... I mean, speak for yourself. He's our man on the street here. He's our street correspondent on the latest Bill Bahidi.
He is. And yes, Norab, the bunny did get her release from AEW, but she's got more releases coming, sir. A lot more releases are on her way. Okay.
What a tease, and that is a multi-purpose sentence.
I meant it in every little angle you just said there. Mm-hmm. So perfectly done. But anyway, awesome. Congratulations to Corey Graves and Carmella on the birth of their little baby boy.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck in future years. Indeed. And you know what? Good luck in making more.
Always.
Hope you make more. There you go. Corey Graves, you could use a few more kids. I think he has four. Or he's three, like, or four. At this point. Four? This is the fourth?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, half a dozen sounds just right for you, my man.
That's right. Get your own shoe factory going.
Hey, listen. Later in life, you need kids to work for you. I mean, I'm hoping my kid becomes some big sports star and just buys us a house and we can just live off of his riches. That's what I'm hoping for. My middle one is going to be some sort of science nerd. Actually, here's a funny thing. My wife went camping last weekend with the scouts, okay? And she comes home Sunday, finally.
Daddy? What?
Yep.
Deserves night night kisses.
Oh, do I need to give Lene night night?
But he deserves a high five.
Oh, high five and give me a kiss. Mm-hmm. I love you. Good night. Okay. Yay! Oh, and my man, my 10-year-old right here, Dylan, needs a huggy. And I love you, buddy. Okay. High five. My man. Light! I can't do a show in the dark. They can't see me. Not that you want to, but holy fuck.
I was going to say, we both try that reuse mic on.
Yeah. So my wife comes home from camping Sunday night, like 8:30, 9 o'clock, and reminds me that she has to literally pack to go camping the next day with my son, who has science camp. My son Dylan, who you just saw, has science camp the next day. So she literally came home from camping to go camping.
Is science camp an indoor thing?
No. My wife has literally been sleeping outside for the past 2 months. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Fred Flintstone at the beginning of the Flintstones?
I guess. I mean, I haven't kicked her out or anything, but it's been her choice. But she has literally spent the last... I would say out of the last 5 weekends, the last 3 weekends, she has been camping.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's been rough. But
message received schedule vasectomy.
But my son has he had a blast at science camp for the last 2 days. It was for school, so he had so much fun.
Were you a camper when you were a kid? I never went to camp.
Camper, no, but I was always into fishing and stuff like that. So now I remember when I was a kid, I was also, my sister was doing the horse circuit, riding horses, doing the shows. So I was kind of stuck tied to that my whole childhood. But most of those places you went had ponds and or lakes. So there was always fishing to be done. And I was never without my fishing rods, as I'm never without now. So I could always fish. I did do the horses for a while. I did for a couple of years.
You don't say?
Not like that, you motherfucker. I did ride, do jumping for a couple of years.
Equestrian?
Yes, sir. There's pictures. There's pictures. Maybe maybe one night we'll show some pictures of old box man riding horses. I don't know. Maybe.
Goodbye, horses.
All right, enough. But Spark, let's get into something a little interesting here when it comes to streaming sites. And not only streaming sites, but how WWE envisions themselves as a Disney-type product.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, WWE kind of ends up getting closer and closer to Disney as it goes, but this is bringing them a little closer. Disney and Hulu are actually merging next month in December to bundle and bring subscribers to both one app. They are literally combining the two, Disney and Hulu, to bring you one app. Now, obviously, we bring this up because all of the replays of the WWE shows are on Hulu, obviously, right, Smart?
That's right.
Now they will be on the Disney Hulu app, whatever it will be called. So,
what was that? Yeah, I don't know what it's called. I said Dulu.
Dulu. That's what that was the joke everybody was making today. But Disney is not just merging with Hulu. It looks like they are acquiring Hulu. And by this article, it says Disney, which is in the home stretch of swinging the deal to become the full owner, that gives you a little hint right there, of Hulu, will launch a beta test of an app next month, as we said in December, that combines Disney Plus and Hulu into a single experience for subscribers of both services. So a lot of services come with a bundle where you can get Disney and Hulu. We have it through... Oh, my wife just walked in. Babe, who's our Disney Hulu bundle through? Yeah. Is it... It's just a bundle that you got?
Mm-hmm.
We bundled it for...
Okay. So they were offering this bundle a while back, obviously when they knew they were doing some business together. And but Bob Iger said that they were definitely going to combine these services together. Disney does still need to close this deal for this buyout. NBC Universal will take 33% stake in Hulu. And they're going to pay about $8.61 billion, Smark.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, babe, that's a lot of money. I mean, Smark, me and you could, what, write, like, personal checks for those?
Yeah, I mean, you know, bust open the piggy bank.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just break open the piggy bank, break out $8.61 billion for the Hulu stake. Whew. And there you go. So it's obviously a little bit interesting because WWE has said before, Smark, and you know, Stephanie McMahon is mainly the one who said the the phrase that they view themselves as a Disney-type company. So,
which is nothing to really strive for. I mean, I guess from a financial standpoint, yes, but just... We want to be a giant soulless conglomerate that owns a whole bunch of shit and dilutes it all.
Dude, I can't wait to go to WWE theme park. I really can't.
Ooh.
Oh, I can't.
Yeah, I don't know about the safety of that theme park.
All I know, from what I heard, you're going to go down the roller coaster and there's a big Triple H fucking thing there spitting water on you.
I'm not going down the drop tower in the amusement park.
Smart.
Not trusting the harnesses at WWE Land.
That is so not funny. Why am I laughing? Why am I laughing? Anyway, so they continue, and a quote from Mr. Iger says, "We remain on track to roll out a more unified one app experience domestically, making extensive general entertainment content available to bundle subscribers via Disney Plus." On the Mouse House earnings call, they called it the Mouse House's earnings call for the September quarter. So once again, Smart, WWE getting closer and closer to being that Disney partner that they've strived to be. And I got to tell you, with the, you know, I mean, and even today there were some announcements about this company, but it's just very odd seeing the fact that Vince McMahon no longer has, you know, controlling stake in this company, and suddenly some pretty big moves are being made. We're not done with moves by WWE tonight at all. Matter of fact, Vince was said to be have said being sold a lot of his stake right now in the company. And there's been rumors that they are not exactly happy with the, once again, non-public information that may be coming out about Vince McMahon.
Right.
I mean, if a little show like us can sit there and talk about the non-public information, I don't know how he hid that from, or I don't know if he did and they just didn't care, or they finally found out what it was. I don't know, but there's something going on with Vince. I got a feeling Vince is going to be way more out of this company than you think he is, sooner rather than later, of the TKO Holdings, the merger. I really think Vince is going to be in the background of this company really quickly. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but tell me.
I mean, convention, the tides right now seem to steer that way, but the man's bulletproof, so like you never put anything past him. But yeah, it does seem like he's going to get pushed farther and farther to the back, and that's not a bad thing. He's getting up there in age, and his ideas haven't been the greatest for quite a while.
Now, Smart, he was bulletproof when he was the controlling stake in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's just kind of a guy on the board.
Right.
So he might not have the same people shaking in their boots the way they did before, is all I'm saying. You know, he was this high-powered businessman back then. Is he now?
I mean, I guess not. I mean, he's still very rich. So, I mean, he could still, I guess...
Right? Rich?
His way into other industries.
But... rich people do find themselves in trouble a lot, and we'll see what happens here.
I think I'm seeing into the future here.
Uh-oh.
So he's kind of out of the business game, but he has a lot of money and bad ideas, but an ability to influence people.
Mm-hmm. So he's
we all know where this is going.
He's running for president?
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you were going with this?
Okay. Would you be even a little bit surprised if, like, maybe not this cycle,
mm-hmm.
but, like, next cycle?
Nope.
Because, I mean, Linda already had her little, political career.
Had some.
So it's not out of the fucking realm of possibility.
No, the fact that I even thought about it, I don't know. It was on the couch. The fact that I even knew what you were talking about means, you know what? I could see him just sitting there in the next 2 years going, Trump did it. Yeah, I could too. Yeah.
Oh, man, what a party that would be. I would watch every second of all of those debates if you could give me, like, a Trump McMahon ticket.
Oh, I mean, they would have to stop the guy from going over and suplexing somebody.
That would be amazing. Like, he's just fucking Gerald Briscoe just hanging out, too.
Mm.
He's got the fucking Stooges with him.
That'd be great.
Good job, Mr. McMahon.
That'd be great. That would be. I don't know, man. You know, I'll tell you, it sounds far-fetched, but it's not as far-fetched as you think it is for Vince McMahon to do something like that. The guy is fucking crazy, man.
Fucking Shane McMahon just fucking diving off of the Washington Memorial.
Oh, dude, I'm down.
Yeah, at first I thought this was a bad idea, but I actually think I'm going to be one of the idiots that votes for him.
No, dude, imagine Shane just jumping off of Lincoln's head. I mean, dude, I am so down with this idea now. Vince McMahon for president. What is it, 2028?
Sure.
If he's alive, I'm fucking down.
Oh, he will be.
I'm down. Oh, I know. He's fucking. He's definitely buying the fucking like all kinds of fucking drugs to just. He's found the fountain of youth, and we just don't know it.
Like, I think legit. Like, I think his mom was alive till, like, into her hundreds.
She was.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. That man is perhaps literally bulletproof.
She was. But anywho, Smart, before we get way too far off track here, and I'm not going to lie, I've had a few shots tonight. I could go off track very quick. But this Disney thing is kind of not unexpected, especially since they've been kind of teasing this deal for a while, but it's interesting to see that how WWE will fare in this. And obviously we know WWE with the new TKO Holdings deal is getting, there's new TV deals coming up. We obviously heard that NXT is on CW. We'll bring that up in a little while, coming up soon. And there's definitely some business deals going on behind the scenes.
Some moving and some shaking going on, you're saying? Comings and goings. Sounding like Bloomberg in here.
Yeah, definitely is, man. I don't know what is going on, but my wife keeps coming in and yelling at the kids.
Yeah, I just heard her very faint. Go to bed!
Yeah, I might need to just take a second in a minute and explain things to people. But anyway. My Lord, this is getting fucking crazy. So anyway, folks, speaking of craziness, let's get a little bit into the craziness of what NWA is doing right now. Smark, I'm going to just assume you've heard that NWA did a controversial angle last week. Did you hear anything about this?
I mean, I didn't see the whole pay-per-view. I've been wanting to, but I hadn't gotten around to it. But yes, I did. I saw the angle.
Okay. So they did an angle where James Mitchell and others in the crowd on a pay-per-view were simulating snorting cocaine, which was probably B12.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people snort in movies and stuff like that, is B12. they did the angle, and immediately people on the internet started coming out with articles saying that they're in jeopardy of losing their deal, this and that. I don't know if that's true. Billy Corgan said that's not, which I will bring up that article in a little while. But, like, it's never been shown on television before, people doing drugs. Never?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that is kind of funny, is, like, it's a fucking TV show. Like, yeah. I mean, you know, and it's a pay-per-view. I mean, it happened on the pay-per-view. Allegedly, the whole scuttlebutt was is that they... Corbin and Corgan. I'm getting confused. Mm-hmm. Baron Corbin, the owner of NWA. Good? No, Billy Corgan.
Billy Corgan, not Baron Corbin. Billy Corgan.
Was they were in talks, and they were saying that they had a lot more leeway to do what they want on the pay-per-views because it's independent of the TV show. So, like, there's not the same sort of guidelines and parameters that they have to oblige, you know, the FCC and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But it was an interesting idea to do an angle, like, right after you get your television contract. They're like, all right, let's have him do coke. Which, I mean, to be fair, NWA is known for keeping the traditions of wrestling alive. So that's all they were doing, is they were just paying homage to the 80s.
Yeah. There you go. And let's face it, folks, this is something that's kept maybe very quiet in the background. But when a lot of people are sitting around with their friends doing things in their comfort zone, things like drugs might get broken out. Someone may break out a bowl of weed. Someone may break out a line. You don't want to do it. You don't have to. But that's kind of reality. That is actually,
just saying, no, kids.
Yeah, that's incredibly reality. People do things behind closed doors, and they were kind of opening that door. But this is something.
That's a literal forbidden door there.
Well, this is something that's been seen in so many movies over the years that I just don't see the big deal with this. That, and I really don't believe that this would kill a deal with a network of the CW. Cheers. Cheers.
I mean, I don't know. I think that actually kind of seems possible. We're kind of just in a point right now where, like, I don't want to be the person like, you can't say anything, but, like, we are more, as a society, sort of uptight about shit like that, and you get the parents complaining, and you get the sponsors wanting to pull out, and, you know.
You know, we say we're uptight about it, but we're also a society that right now, and forget politics, folks. We are light on crime right now. We are. As a society, as a whole, Democrat, Republican, please don't put this on one side. I don't mean it as one side. But we're being light on crime right now. And you know what? In the past few years, a lot of states have lightened up on drug laws. They really have. How many states have literally legalized either dispensaries or some sort of marijuana? Not everyone is legalizing recreational use. I understand that. But some sort of marijuana distribution in their state. A lot of states have. No, I know cocaine is not legal. But again, I believe they were probably snorting B12, which is a movie thing. Billy Corgan is in that kind of music Hollywood thing. I just don't see where this is a big fucking deal. But a lot of people, oh my God, Smart, did you see everyone on there? If I were CW, I would kick these people off right now for drug paraphernalia use. What the fuck is drug paraphernalia use? Go ahead.
Drug paraphernalia
use. Yes. I saw all kinds of shit, dude. I'm just saying, listen, folks, it's 2023. People do drugs. We know it. If we're willing to accept people for all their flaws, add this to one of their flaws. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it's going
to
cost them.
If you want to support the decay of this society and civilization that we're living in, but some of us are Christians, Fox fan, and I can't have my child, Smart Jr., out here watching Gene Mitchell snorting the cocaine. I mean, did he pull it out of the fanny pack? Was there like another segment like 20 minutes later where they were cutting like a really fucking good promo?
Well,
what was going on here?
You missed the part where he was changing out of his Zubaz.
He was doing his laundry and just a giant bag of coke falls out of his Zubaz.
He reached in his Zubaz pocket and out came an 8-ball. And he's like, holy hell, I didn't know where this came from, brother.
That's where that went. I've been looking for that for like the last 20 years, brother.
So that's what happened. You're reaching a Zubaz. You don't know what can fuck come out of a pair of Zubaz.
I got that out of Hawk Hogan's gumball machine.
Oh, there you go. His gumball machine. Thank you, Smart. Thank you for that fucking callback. Fucking beautiful. I love that. I love that. But anyway, folks, Billy Corgan is claiming we went the scenic route to this fucking thing. But Billy Corgan's claiming there's a lot of speculation that is not true out there. And NWA does, in fact, have the deals with the network that he is saying. And this was actually, this is a newer article, folks. You see, this was actually just yesterday that this article came out. So Billy Corgan is saying definitely there are still deals in place for NWA Power and the reality show that we had talked about. He's saying, here we go. He was on the Drew Garbo Live. Smart, do you know who that is?
Love him.
No? Yes?
No, not at all.
Okay, good. 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 Well, he was on there and he was asked about the NWA and making the deal and if it was off and all this stuff. And he said, and I quote, "I'd like to say first and foremost, of course, first and foremost, we are a television content producer. Wrestling in the 21st century is television first and everything else second. That's not to say that the second is not important, but if you can't drive from television down, you're going to have a hard time building an audience. Certainly, being on a national television being on national television in any capacity, digital or otherwise, broadcast, network, that's how you reach the most people. Going into a market live or like Sarasota, as well be Saturday after next, having people have a routine to reach your television product and part of, oh my God, I can't read tonight, in part of what makes people want to see the matches. We are free on YouTube, but the way YouTube works and the way people's schedules are, unless they go looking for stuff, they may not know you're there. TV deals are the core of it. And there has been a ton of speculation lately, and I stand by what I said. We have two TV deals with a top 20 network. That's all I can say for now. There is lots of speculation that's not true, but I can stand here and say, hand on heart, that is absolutely true," he stated. So he's saying, no matter what anyone thinks, no matter what anyone is saying, no matter what all those wrestling websites are telling you, no matter what all the WrestleZone and Observer are telling you, the deal is still in place.
Very good.
So I guess we'll see what happens in the long run. But according, now, he might have told them that he has this segment coming up. We don't know.
Perhaps. Perhaps. I will say, though, I did not have it on the bingo card that if any promotion was potentially lose a TV deal because of an edgy angle, NWA would have been literally the bottom of that fucking list.
Well, then again, Jim Cornette did get thrown off for saying a slightly majorly controversial line. And it, you know what? It would have been slightly controversial 15 years ago.
Okay, yes, I should have added the caveat that didn't involve racism.
There you go. There you go. So they've had their, we know we've had their media coverage.
Yes. I wonder if this is, this is actually going to be good for them because, like, can you name any other time, excluding the part you just mentioned about the Cornette thing, where they were talking about something that happened on fucking NWA television?
Not really.
Like, I mean, people got mad that Tyrus won the belt, and then I guess happy that he lost the belt, but, like, that wasn't really an angle. Like, people were talking about this, that people were, I had seen the clip all over Twitter, like,
yeah,
they gained traction from it, if anything.
Yeah, they're definitely getting some traction from this, so good for them for doing that, but on the heels of that, though, Smark, there's also some growing frustration within NWA because of Billy Corgan's leadership of the company. This according to wrestlingnews.co. And it's saying, I mean, obviously, like I said, we talked about this, we talked about that, we talked about the whole James Mitchell thing. But it's saying now, it's reported that people are upset and there is now an active push by those higher up at the CW for the programming to only air on the app rather than on the television show.
Yeah, I had heard that.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure that's something that's, again, Billy Corgan seems to say that he's in the know of what's going on, so I guess we'll just have to see what's going on. But right now I'm kind of taking Corgan's word for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, okay, maybe there's already a deal in place or whatever, but, like, I feel like if the network could have just opted to fucking pull the deal or just cancel them outright if they wanted to. So, like, the idea that they would just keep them on, like, well, we're really mad about what you did, but we'll keep you on the app.
See, here's the thing. If he's already signed and announcing the deal, they can't exactly just back out of the deal. That's called breach of contract. And I don't know if you know this, Mark, but that's illegal.
Well, they can still give them the money, but they could cancel them just the same. Nope. Like, they could pull the TV.
Not if that, not. It all depends on the contract. If he's already signed on the old dotted line, they can't cancel him for something like that. That's not how it works. They will owe him, he can sue. They will owe him a lot of money. Remember, first of all, just remember that the whole actors' strike is over. Both strikes are over, folks. It's back to Hollywood as normal. You can't just get out of a deal that easy. Hollywood can't get out of a deal that easy. TV networks can't just say, okay, I know you've signed, but we're going to back out.
Unless, well, I wasn't talking about not backing out. I was talking about just not airing the product.
Again, if part of the contract is he has a television deal, that's not something you can just go, okay, well, well the app is still television. That's called a streaming service. And there could be repercussions for that. I really feel that the people that are reporting that are kind of guessing.
I mean, I believe, like, if Corgan's saying that the deal's still in place, then, I mean, I don't, I'll take him at his word for that, I guess.
I mean, TV deals aren't I mean, TV deals are solid, dude. They're solid. TV deals don't have fucking loopholes and this and that. It's been around for, you know, this isn't like a new thing, television. You know what I mean? They know, sure. They know the loopholes. They know the problems. They know the ins and outs. So I wouldn't expect any sort of loophole to be worked here, is all I'm saying.
Okay.
So, but anyway. That's about all I've got on the smart.
Hit it up.
Hit it up, my man.
Sure. Speaking of loopholes and
loopholes,
all types of other.
That's why I put it there. Loopholes. Loopholes.
All types of other red tape. We're going to shift from television deals to bureaucracy. Who doesn't love that?
It's the same thing in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. For the next 6 months, WWE Intercontinental Champion Gunther will only be allowed to wrestle in the United States. Crown Australia's largest newspaper published a story on Gunther this week after speaking with him on WWE's tour of Germany. It was noted that Gunther isn't allowed to leave the U.S. for the next 6 months due to strict residency regulations. Gunther was born in Austria and now resides in Orlando, Florida. He's also weighing in tonight at 273 pounds. Gunther said this will allow him to spend more time with his wife, Ginny, who he only saw for 6 days in October. Ginny formerly wrestled in NXT UK before retiring due to concussion issues. The couple got married earlier this year. Gunther is the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion in WWE history. Last month, his title reign passed the 500-day mark. He won the Intercontinental title from Ricochet on SmackDown in June 2022. Gunther's most recent title defense was against Bronson Reed on the... seem important. Gunther doesn't have a match at Saturday's Crown Jewel premium live event that already happened. This was from the past. Not being able to wrestle outside of the U.S. for the next 6 months also means that Gunther won't be able to compete WWE's Elimination Chamber in Perth, Australia in February 2024. Gunther will be available to wrestle at WWE Bash in Berlin in August 2024.
All right. Well, Gunther's been you know, it's funny. This guy went through a fucking name change and everybody shit on it, right?
Yeah, but I mean, but like, I saw where they were coming from.
Yeah, but like literally 2 weeks later, everyone was like, nah, we don't really care.
Yeah, that's the way outrage works.
That's the way it works. And you know what? This guy had enough talent that it didn't matter if his name was fucking Gunther, Thumper, Roger, Dodger. It didn't matter what his fucking name was. The guy's talented enough to pull off the character he's pulling off. And his name was secondary to anything else he was going to do out there in the ring. So his name could have been fucking anything. Gunther, Gulliver, Oliver, Smalliver. It didn't fucking matter. The guy was going to fucking get over anyway. And he did. But I guess because of where he's originally from and everything, there's some issues. But he can only wrestle in certain places from now on. What the hell?
For the next 6 months. They didn't really explain what the regulatory issues were, the residency issues were, but for whatever, it's going to take 6 months for those to resolve for some reason. I don't understand necessarily why, but that is what they're saying, is that he'll be available for the August Germany show.
Yes, which he will.
He's presumed to be like prominently featured in that show.
Oh, he will be very prominently featured in that show in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely. Most definitely. So, there you go, man. So, real quick, folks, before we get too far. Now, if we know Ziggler, Dolph Ziggler, was let go a little while ago from WWE. But if you're worried about Ziggler, folks, Smark, I wouldn't worry about Dolph. Would you?
According to this,
no. Dolph is out in Cleveland taking picture with topless women. I mean, listen, if you're going to be unemployed, take... All right, here's a question, Smart. Did he take them both home?
Not home. That's where his wife is.
His what?
I said not home. That's where his wife is.
Does he have a wife?
No, presumably not.
No, he doesn't.
But yeah, you don't want to take him home anyway. If you can afford that, you take him to the hotel, and then you don't have to clean up afterwards.
Well, here's what I want to know. Who is that girl on the left with the... Tig old biddies. My lord, I don't know who she is, but Dolph, if you brought either one, if you brought both, I got a feeling. Listen, these girls are at a Cleveland Browns game taking off their top. You don't think this man brought both these women home? Folks,
if you're asking for cold, you can see that there's snow in the background.
Well, if you are worried about Dolph Ziggler after his WWE career, let me just say, don't.
He seems to be having fun.
Dude, this is more than fun. This is more than fun. If he brought home one of the two of these, this man is living the life of a fucking king.
Mm-hmm.
A king. Dolph Ziggler, I salute you.
Apparently, it's become a trend to bring, like, strippers to football games. There's a rapper that did that, and everybody got all upset about it, like, a week or two ago. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
there's apparently just a lot of people that are just all about voyeurism in football.
Yeah, but wasn't there some banging going on up there that they weren't happy about?
No, I think it was just, there's just strippers.
Oh, well.
There's no actual, like, penetration.
Anyway, if you were worried about Dolph Ziggler, after his release from WWE, he looks like he's getting more releases that are warranted.
That is the most fun a Browns fan has had in a football stadium in fucking decades.
I wish I knew who the girl on the left was, and if she has an OnlyFans, I will sign up today.
I could probably find out. Let's give her some time. This is the first time I've seen this picture, so I'll do some sleuthing and get back to you.
Those look, and really, if you zoom in, there's a nippy there, folks.
Well, yeah, it's cold outside.
Those hands can't cover those nippies. So
you know that
anyway.
Is a funny thing I was thinking about because I saw like a photo earlier, like. It always makes me laugh when somebody gets a boob job.
Huh?
But then they have like these like fucking like cartoonishly large boobs, but then they have just like a very small sliver of a nipple.
Because
It's like, okay, it makes it even look even more ridiculous that way.
Oh, these look natural.
Well, yeah, I'm not making any, I'm not trying to cast aspersions on this young lady, but I'm just saying just in general, when people do that, it just makes me laugh. Because it's aesthetically just does not look.
I have a feeling Dolph Ziggler has been out there slaying it for the past few mucking months, and we don't know anything about it.
Just slaying it?
Just slaying it everywhere, I have a feeling. But anyway, enough of Dolph Ziggler, folks. He's going to be fine. We all know that. We had talked about the CW Network, folks, and the fact that they were going back and forth between this whole NWA thing, but they did announce today that NXT will be moving to the sports lineup of CW Network, which is a little weird after this whole NWA thing is going on. Now, I heard something, Smark, that caught my attention. that wouldn't this give a little bit of legitimacy to the MLW monopolization that WWE decides who is and who isn't on their networks? This isn't a streaming site.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think it would. This is not a streaming site. It does have an app that does stream, but it is not a actual streaming site, which is what a lot of the real lawsuit is about, is streaming only sites. So I don't think this would apply. You think I'm wrong?
I mean, it's just easy for it's very easy for me to believe any sort of accusations of them doing anything that's sort of dirty or underhanded or trying to monopolize things, just based on the history of and things that they've done in the past. So it's like, I mean, I understand what you're saying, that it's possible that this is not anything. It's like you're saying, like, them theoretically they're going to be on the same network as NWA, but they might be entirely cool with that.
I actually think if they're on the same network and WWE allows it, it goes against the MLW case.
Well, but at the same time, though, the MLW thing, that started a couple years ago at this point.
Right.
So it was a much different landscape.
It was. It was. But I think, again, they were talking about a streaming, exclusively streaming site. This is not an exclusive streaming site. This is a site that has an app. It is also on television, network television. So I don't see where this applies to their case. I don't.
Well, I mean, are you talking about Vice? Because the Vice was streaming. Vice was the TV deal that they were supposed to have. MLW.
Are they on your, what TV?
Well, yeah, now, but allegedly they were supposed to have.
They're on like
a show on Vice.
Vice is like all the streaming apps have Vice on it. They're not.
Yeah, but it was
television
at the time,
channel.
At least it was a physical television network.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know. So maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. No. I mean, I don't know what all television providers carried them, but when I still had satellite or when I still had cable television, Vice had its own channel.
I didn't know that. I know they're on a lot of streaming apps because every streaming app I have has Vice on it. So I don't know. But it's interesting. So we'll see what happens, folks. We'll see what happens with that. Folks, there used to be a giant mural honoring the Mysterio family. Obviously, Rey Mysterio and more. It was in San Diego. The company, however, that had that mural on its wall has sold, and that mural has actually been removed. So, not a good thing. But there was a big, I'm showing some pictures here, obviously. You've got the mural of Rey Mysterio in different outfits all over this building, Smark. As you can see, there's more pictures coming up in a minute here of him. But the building has been sold, and there's even Rey Mysterio in front of the same mask that he is wearing is in the mural. The building has been sold, or is up for sale, excuse me. And they decided to paint over all the murals they had in honor of the Mysterio family.
Sad times.
Why would you do that before the building sold?
Yeah, for real. They could have still been something. They could have incorporated that into something.
exactly what I'm thinking. This is actually a selling point to a building for someone. But they went ahead and decided that no one would want this and removed it. But, I mean, this artwork is fucking amazing. I don't give a fuck if this was fucking graffiti artwork. You see the mask. All right, the mask, the... But look at the detail behind the masks, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
This was not an easy mural to make.
No.
So, just kind of crazy they would take this down and just to sell a fucking building. Obviously, someone who doesn't know what the fuck is going on in the wrestling world. But anyway, you know. I just thought I would mention this. I just thought it was kind of crappy.
Yeah, it does suck.
Yeah, it does. I mean, Mysterio, obviously, a huge fucking legend in the business. And I don't know. I just figured something like this would stay up.
Well, I mean, I guess they're kind of burying the lead on the fact that it was bought by, the building was bought by JBL.
Oh, there you go.
So just get them on my building, Michael.
Can't have them border jumpers on there.
Close on his ass right back to me, though.
Anyway, folks, from there, we go. That was
such a fucking wild segment, but yeah.
It was. But folks, we have some huge news tonight, and that is what we're going to get into right now. Absolutely giant, huge, the hugest news to get into tonight. And that is, folks, Allie has started an OnlyFans.
Indeed.
That's it. AEW's Allie has started an OnlyFans. And that's the big news for tonight. Now, just to show you guys, I do want to point something out. If you go to more info on her page, there is one little note right there. As you can see, it does say no nudes. She will not be doing nudes. If any of you pervs out there were looking for Allie to be out there on OnlyFans, finger blasting herself, no.
Wow,
not gonna happen. You can go to Ricochet's site to see that.
I mean, to be fair, that's the most enthusiasm he's shown behind a camera in his entire life. But but yeah, no, she won't be ricocheting herself anytime soon, apparently. But
that little laugh you did was great. I'm sorry.
Because, well, instead of, because I was trying to think of like how to make a joke out of that, but then I just started thinking about the fact that there's a video of just Ricochet just fucking putting his finger in his ass, and it just made me laugh.
You were not
like, the video is the joke.
You were not expecting that from the fucking reaction I just got.
I had forgotten about the Ricochet video.
Well, this was my pleasure to bring it up to Smart.
No, nothing anyway, brought up right now, I assure you.
But anyway, there you go, folks. And OnlyFans for Allie is available to you.
Yeah. So far, nothing too great. It's $20.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. I mean, it makes a perfect stocking stuffer, I suppose. What do you think about that? Do you think that, like, the fact that she just straight up said, like, I'm not showing shit. It's $20. It's up to you if you decide that it's worth it to give me money. Like, do you think that's a good thing? Or do you think it's, like, kind of, I don't know, lame to, like, charge $20, not give anybody anything? But does it make up for it by the fact that she's just straight up saying from the get-go, it's like, look, keep your expectations down.
I think it's a good gauge of what fans you're going to get by immediately saying no nudes. She could switch it up, which, listen, she might have the pride in herself to not take her clothes off for people that pay for it. I'm just saying she might be an actual girl with morals, which I don't know if that's crazy or not. I don't know with a girl, but...
But that is such a... That's a weird thing, though.
It is.
Because, like... I mean, I get what you're saying is, like, okay, so, like, just having, like, sort of going against the idea of wanting to pose naked because of morality issues, but then still posing anyways. Like, it's sort of weird a little bit, I think.
Well, I mean, okay, it's like Trish Stratus. Trish Stratus is beautiful, gorgeous, but never did nude. Lita, beautiful. To me, Lita is absolutely gorgeous, even now, but never did nude. There's plenty of women who never go nude who still had, I mean, Trish Stratus had some of the most, some of the sexiest pictures that you could imagine with clothes on. So it can be done. Allie is definitely a very good looking girl. She has a great body and she could probably pull this off. But she definitely...
Oh, sure. She's going to make some money from it. It just depends on like how much she's willing to, you know, put into it.
And if she decides that she thinks she can make more by removing an article of clothing, more power to her. Dude, if I could take my shirt off right now and make $100 doing it, you don't think I'd probably do it?
Oh, I would absolutely do it. I don't blame you.
Meanwhile,
I'm also not advocating for not doing it. I'm more saying that I hope that she reviews her business model at the end of this physical quarter and decides to reconsider. Maybe if Mandy Rhodes and Lacey Evans can send her bank statements to sort of just nudge her in the right direction, because apparently we're burying the lead here. Here's the most important thing. The important thing is not that you can eventually find all these photos online if you wait a couple of while. That's not important. What is important
true. But
is that she has been removed from the AEW roster page. So she is no longer with the company.
Correct.
Theoretically.
Right.
I checked the Ring of Honor page and she's not on there either. Butcher and Blade are still on there, so it's not like that was an oversight or anything. Like somebody made the decision to remove her from the page, so it's gonna be, and that's interesting. And then it's gonna be interesting is like, did she do that in response to? Did you know that was coming? Did they do that because she did the page? Does that change things? Like, curious to see what happens with all that.
I would guess in response to.
Maybe. But then I also looked, and they still have Paige Van Zandt on their roster page, who has very explicit photos.
And has a very racy one with, I mean, supposedly she has a video coming out. And when I say video, I don't mean a kid's video.
She actually did a collaboration with Mandy Rose.
She did a great collaboration with Mandy Rose. Let's just put it fucking that way. So, yeah, but listen, there's also plenty of women out there who have an OnlyFans, non-nude, and make a legit serious amount of money. Listen, Paige Van Zandt said, I'm not looking at it, but, and I'm paraphrase quoting, I made more in 24 hours on OnlyFans than I did my whole 7 years in MMA.
Oh, yeah, that's not a surprise at all. I mean, MMA fighters in general are criminally underpaid, but then women's MMA for a very long time, and probably still now, they're not making a lot of money.
Yeah, you would probably not want to check out the women's MMA paychecks. But, I mean, listen, and by the way, if you want me to take my shirt off, please let me know. I can start myself something. But anyway.
You said $100. I would be willing to do it for $83. Could undercut what? It.
You undercut,
and you're going to get more for your money.
You undercut and prick. What would you do that for, dude? Anything we get is 50-50. You know that, right? We're partners here, my man.
I see.
Partners, always. 50-50.
Just a fucking video of just me watching AEW with my shirt on.
Oh, yeah.
Just fucking, like, chips just on the fucking, like, little chip crumbs on the clavicle.
Hey, I'll unbutton this button right now and give you all a little preview. There you go. You want me to rub it? Here you go. One nipple? No, I'm not going to show you that. No. Hey, a little preview right there. Just
screen cap that, send it to TMZ.
There you go. Jeff
Goldblum exposed.
I unbutton the bottom button, folks. There you go. There it is. You want it?
Mm-hmm.
You want it? Yeah. Come get it. Come on. You can pay for it. Oh, yeah.
There you have it.
Are we losing listeners? Are we literally losing listeners right now? Okay. All right. Anyway, folks, I think I've got no news left. I don't think Smark does either. So I guess we can... You want to jump in a little bit of that AEW?
Sure. That's a real quick aside, though. What do you think about, like, obviously they have no chance, hell, of landing the guy. But there's still, as the days continue, there's been a lot of talk about, like, where Will Ospreay is going to go and where some of the other people, because there's apparently supposed to be, like, a slew of free agents next year.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the fact, like, just Impact being involved in so much of this? Like, the idea, like, okay, sure, they're probably not going to land anybody big, but, like, do they at least deserve, like, maybe a little pat on the back for trying to be aggressive and trying to make the moves on these, and trying to get, like, these big free agents to come? Because, I mean, they're doing everything they can within their limited resources compared to, like, WWE and AEW to, like, try to bring people there. Because, I mean, they did have Ospreay wrestle for them a little bit.
True.
So, like, they're trying their fucking best out here.
They are, but here's the thing, and I think you might agree with this. No matter what they try, it's a non-fucking starter. They just have a reputation for being... Man, how do I fucking put this? Kind of a joke of a company.
Right.
And
which, I mean, that's part of the question, I guess, was right. Like, do you think does this help that cause?
No.
Like, does trying to go after a big name create, and so no, just them, no. Like, waving $5 in front of Will Ospreay's face while Vince McMahon, or not Vince, Triple H backs up a Briggs truck?
It always smells like desperation.
It would be so fucking wild at the end of this if he actually did end up signing with fucking Impact.
Would be, but it just seems like desperation when they do things. And again, it's their history. It's their... I wish I could change their history. Going back to being TNA isn't changing their history. It's adding to their history, but it's not changing it. Their history, unfortunately, is not good. It's God, I hate to use this fucking word. It's kind of toxic when you think about it. They went up against WWE and failed in less than a month. Toxic. Did not fucking look good for them. A lot of moves TNA has done has not been, Smark, your word, as you've said 1,000 times in this show, the optics of TNA never looks good no matter what they do. Never looks good. So... as they go through and try to do things and try to grasp on truth onto, like indie darling straws. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to grasp onto these indie darling or even, just internet darling stars.
Yeah,
it doesn't move the needle. It won't move the needle because TNA is what it is. Listen, and I see Nora, I've been here, you know, no no hating on TNA. But listen, I'm not hating on TNA. This company has lasted a long time when, let's be honest, they should not have. They should not have lasted a long time.
That is for sure. Their resiliency is impressive. Oh, yeah.
Cockroaches. They're fucking cockroaches. I hate to tell you. They really are. But, you know, it does say something, I guess. They've been bought out enough times by enough companies and changed their name enough times. But the more they do this, the more they lose something. It's like a company being bought out over and over. And every time they get bought out, the boss changes. Then they got to worry about where they stand with that boss. They got to worry about what that boss is going to do. Are they going to be fucking laid off? Is this going to happen? It's like this company's been through so many changes and promised so much. Okay, we're going to grow this time. This time we're going to grow with this change. Sorry, folks. And it never does. It's lethargic. That makes sense? Lethargic, you know?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
I know it's a kind of a weird word, but lethargic, meaning they sit there and they say they're going to change, and whatever change they make is blah. Blah. It doesn't matter. I think that's
their problem. It's not really so much that they never change. It's just that they don't have the same financial, you know, freedom that WWE does at AEW, or even that I think New Japan does. So, like, anytime they find somebody who's good and they do some good stuff with them, they just immediately, you know, it's like as soon as they build up enough of a buzz or enough of a reputation, then they go somewhere else. You know, they had that fucking, if you look at their 2018 roster, yeah, it's fucking crazy. They had, you know, Drew Galloway at the time. They had like fucking Pentagon was there. They had Morrison. They just had all these people.
Right.
Del Rio was there before he became a giant piece of shit. But like, there was so many fucking people there. But then just AEW came along and they had more money. So like, people started going there, or people started coming back to WWE. Yeah, this is hard for them to build any consistency with their roster. And then that makes it hard for their product to have any sense of consistency, which is why I don't necessarily mind them like trying to do a full, like just go all out trying to land somebody of a big name value and like lock them down. Like, it won't happen. I don't think it'll happen. They might get Andrade. I mean, that might be something.
Who cares?
For them, at least. But
they're owned by a large conglomerate, Smark, that has the money to put out the advertisements, to shove the money into a company like this, to promote a company like this. But you know what they do? They don't.
Yeah, that's fair.
They do have the money to do it. They are a publicly traded company, but they don't want to put the money into a company like this. Why? There's a reason for that. And I'm sorry, but if you really dig into the reason they don't want to put the effort and the money into this company, it shows a lot about how this company, that's Sinclair Broadcasting, right? How they feel about that product.
I don't think it's Sinclair. Sinclair is Ring of Honor.
You're right. I'm sorry. You're right. It's
Anthem.
Anthem.
I don't know if it's Anthem.
Anthem. Thank you, Smark. It is Anthem. They've got the money, but they don't want to invest it, which should tell you something right there. Either invest the money, try to go the product, get it off of this fucking Access TV, which 90% of your fucking cable subscribers do not fucking have. Yes, that number is thrown out. It's probably less. But why? Even Nora said it's Anthem. Yes, I realize. I'm sorry. I mixed up companies. It happens. But they've got the money. They are a big company. Look them up online. They're not fucking small. But they just don't want to bite the bullet or bite their bullet and put the fucking money into trying to grow this company and get them off of this fucking rinky dink fucking network they're on. Do you know, again, Smart, to watch Axis TV, to watch TNA, what they're known as now, you have to subscribe to like the highest tier of cable.
Which is very problematic. I see what you're saying. Because if anything, cable is it's going down. People aren't trying to enhance their cable package.
Right. So you look like you have no ratings, which is awful. And let's face it, a lot of TNA fans probably watch it a different way, but I don't know, man. It's crazy, this whole TNA thing. But it's amazing they've survived as long as they have, I'll tell you that.
Sure. I feel partially bad for them, because like you said, and I totally agree. I mean, you didn't like outright say it, but like the turning point, pun intended, was when they brought in fucking Hogan and Bischoff. Like after that, it was just like, it was a fucking, I mean, not a literal death blow, because they're unkillable. But like after that, it was just, they took a massive hit to their reputation. And it seemed like they never quite recovered, because, like, okay, they weren't going to defeat WWE at all anyway. Mm-hmm. But prior to Hogan and Bischoff, it was like, it had a good reputation, because you were having, you know, you had like Joe and Angle and shit, and they were having their matches, and you had the like the AJ Christopher Daniels, I think it was Joe's in that too, whatever, the big triple threat match. Like, there was a lot of, they had a lot of good matches and like critically acclaimed shows.
Yep.
And then Hogan and Bischoff got involved, and then it was like, it became, that's when the sort of LOL TNA thing started happening.
Right. They decided to go head-to-head with WWE, which was the absolute most moronic move I could have ever thought of. And they failed. And they looked horrible after doing it. So, you know, they've had a bunch of different reincarnations, but I'm not sure going back to TNA is going to be the best thing for them, but I guess we'll see. But, Smart, can you figure something to talk about for a few seconds while I go pee?
I suppose we can. Or I can, I guess.
All right. You figure something out. You let me know. I pee. We come back. We knock out AEW. And I get something to eat and go to bed.
That sounds like a plan. Let's do it.
All right.
Tiger gets a little bit more about Impact or TNA, I guess. It is interesting that they're deciding to go back to TNA, and I don't know if it's going to work or not, but I do think that, like we were talking about before.
You good?
And I've already, started filibustering. I'm not good at this, so hurry up. But anyways, we were talking about it last week as you go to the bathroom, or not last week, but the week, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about just the name Impact, and then you have the name of the company's Impact, the show's Impact, so it starts becoming clunky and redundant, I guess, in a sense. So the fact that they're actually going back to what people know them as anyway, or people call them anyway, is a good idea. And I think, I mean, if anything, the idea of like they're trying to like symbolically change things or go back to a better time, however you want to view that, is good. Because just the idea of like they had become stagnant, like nobody was really talking about them, they weren't doing much anything. They were apparently having good shows, but I mean, they're having good shows in a vacuum, so they need to try to do something to get people talking about them again. They like I was saying, they had that pay-per-view that was on YouTube, they did a couple weeks ago, and that was cool that they were putting on a full like event on YouTube for free for people to watch. So it's a good way at the very least to get their name out there, because that was a problem too, was like they kept going back and forth with like where you could find them for free, because for a while there they were on Twitch, you could watch them on Twitch, and then they moved to YouTube, but then it became, I think it was like you had to join their premium membership club or whatever, like the Impact Insiders, I think it's called. So then they like took that access away from people that were like wanting to watch them on Twitch or on YouTube anyway. So like you were driving people away. So now they're trying to, I guess, kind of fix that and bring more people in. So that's a step in the right direction. But as you're going to transition into AEW, you talked about AEW last week, and I want to say the funny thing about that, I didn't have a chance to talk about it because I wasn't here, was they did the whole Hangman Page thing and Swerve, the Swerve angle where he breaks into Hangman Page's house and like implies that he could do serious harm to his family. And then like the very next show that they do, then the very next like Impact, or not Impact, the very next Dynamite, fucking Hangman Page just comes out like normal with the Young Bucks, and they have that triple, the six man tag, and then Swerve comes out, and Hangman just remembers that, oh, hey, that guy broke into my house last week. That was so fucking stupid. Like,
Yeah.
they, I was really curious to see what they were going to do with that angle, and they just completely dropped the ball and welcome back.
Yeah, imagine that. Thank you. Imagine AEW dropping the fucking ball on an angle. No, never happened. But yeah, they did. They did. They had a Pillman-esque angle to work with here. And yeah, they dropped the ball. It's almost like they're trying to make up for it. Like they thought about it and really like kind of made up, are trying to make up for it now. But I don't know. Like I said, even that week, if that motherfucker broke into my house, I would have killed him. You would have had to have. For weeks on end, you would have had security pull me off of this fucking guy for going into my child's room. And you know what? It would have taken fucking multiple security details to do it, to keep me off of this fucking guy. I'm telling
Yeah,
you
you
now.
know what I would have, like, I think what I would have done maybe is something like, you know, right after they did that angle the next week, he tries to get to him, but then he has Swerve has a bunch of security with him and shit. So it's like, hey, man, can't get to him, but he tries to, and they end up getting kicked out of the arena or whatever.
I
Then the very next
disagree.
week,
I disagree.
you,
Swerve
well,
should have been hiding, doing fucking videos in blank spaces.
that's an
Blank
interesting idea.
fucking walls, spaces, doing videos. You can't find me. You don't know where I am. I could be anywhere. I could be in your house. I could be in your fucking backyard. I could be in your fucking garage. You don't know.
See, that's a better idea, because what I was going to say was, like, one of the things I thought would be a good idea is if you have, like, you shoot like a segment where Hangman jumps Swerve at like a hotel. But you actually flip that on its head. You have Hangman wrestling. You show Swerve he's broken into fucking Hangman's hotel room. He's just like taking shit. He's just like, any time, like, I know where you are. I'm on you the entire, like, all the time. Or just like, you don't know where I'm gonna be, but I always have the drop on you. I like that idea.
See, these are both like loose cannon-esque fucking ideas. So no, it all ties in, but it could all get good. But you're right, they kind of wasted it, which they kind
Which,
of.
I mean, they have one more show
True.
before the pay-per-view. Well, actually, two, I guess. Three, I guess, because, like, if they're going to have them, there's two more collisions. There's
Yeah.
one more Dynamite.
Right.
So I guess there's still enough time, but it's like, man, that was a big misstep.
Nah, not their first.
True.
Not their first, but let's get into this. Let's get into this little dynamite here, Smark. I appreciate you doing that. I really had to go.
I didn't sing this time.
Thank you, sir. So anyway, let's get into this fucking AEW Dynamite that happened fucking last night for us here. So Tony Schiavone kicks off the show. He brings out MJF backstage. Cole once again is on the TV, telling MJF, look, you've got to get Samoa Joe out there to help you. He's the man that can do it. And MJF's like, what the fuck, dude? You keep doing this and I'm fucking tired of it. But whatever. Which gets us to a little bit of a promo with MJF and Daniel Garcia. And MJF asks if he's going to get the sports entertainer or the professional wrestler? And of course, what does Daniel Garcia say, the professional wrestler? But of course, to ruin the segment, Roderick Strong comes out smart.
Sure, yes, he did come out after the segment.
Look, I know this is supposed to be annoying. I get it. I get he's supposed to be doing this. He's got t-shirts that have this Adam. But to me, I want to turn the channel. I want to turn the fucking channel. Problem is, I'm watching on the app and there's no other channels.
I like it. It's just the problem is that there's like three different people on their roster named Adam. And anytime I hear it, Adam, now I'm just trained in my mind to hear Adam.
Yeah. Which one?
Which, like I said, it's like we were talking about like 2 weeks ago during the Edge segment, there was this guy who just yelled, Adam.
Yeah.
It's like, yep, you sent your son. This is like going to be a what chat.
Doesn't matter what fucking Adam. You can just fucking yell Adam. But after this whole thing, Smark, we kick off this show with Garcia and MJF. I don't think there was any doubt that MJF was going to win this match. I don't know. There shouldn't have been. A good match nonetheless. But after the match is where it got a little interesting. MJF, Smark, reaching out his hand. Kind of a show of respect. I got to tell you, this week's AEW was one of two things. Either the most absolute gratuitous way to try to get MJF over as a babyface, or MJF just flat out acting like the most babyface MJF I've ever seen him act before. I don't know why. For some reason, tonight felt like that's what they were going for. This was the true blue MJF. Did you get that feeling at all through either and any of these segments?
I almost feel like last week was more of that, with him like coming out with the Acclaimed and wearing the pink and all that kind of stuff.
See, I get that. But then this week you get MJF with the handshake. Handshake. You get MJF acting concerned. You get MJF going backstage when the Acclaim gets thrown through the fucking plate glass, acting concerned. I think that this was one of the most MJF babyface-esque weeks we've ever got. I think last week planted the seeds for this week, though. I definitely agree on that.
Yeah, I can go with that. It's a progression. They're just having to be more and more of a face.
Yeah. And it's funny, though. I think the more they're progressing him as this babyface, they're also progressing him as a heel in the same manner. That sound like it makes sense. Like, they're progressing him as this babyface in this kind of fast and furious way. And please, no puns to the movie. But they're also, we know when this babyface run ends, he's going back immediately to the hardcore baby, like heel he always was.
Right. Yeah, they're giving you more. So when they take it away, it becomes more.
Yeah. The takeaway. There you go, Smark. They're doing the takeaway, but the takeaway hasn't got there yet.
Right.
You know, they're...
Yeah,
they're,
I was actually listening to the... That's kind of a perfect thing. It's like, I was listening to an interview with the Godfather, and he was talking about when they first put The Rock with the Nation of Domination.
Okay.
And this will make a point in a second. Just give me time. Come on. But he was saying when they first put The Rock with the Nation of Domination, Vince was saying that, like, they tried to do the whole Rocky Maivia thing. People fucking hated it. We're going to put him with you guys. We're going to make him a heel. By the time that his heel runs over, he's going to be the biggest fucking star in the company,
mm-hmm.
like in the world. And it's like, that's kind of, they're doing this kind of in reverse. Because, like, all right, MJF has been such a good heel for so long that, okay, now people like seeing him as, like him, just as a character. So it's going to be, you know, obviously he's become a good babyface because people are already interested in him, behind him, and all that shit. And they're stretching it out for as long as possible, because then when he does end up turning heel again, it's going to be more impactful. It's not just going to be like, all right, well, you know, I was a good guy for 2 weeks. Now I'm back to being a bad guy. This is sort of like, almost like how Jericho does.
It's,
he just sort of rides the waves.
It's, bear with me here. This MJF run is a bit Cena-like, if you think about it. Cena started off as this, you know, the doctor of thugonomics, as a heel, right? Then he came out a little while later, and he was the heel everyone kind of loved. He would put down the baby faces with lines that people were already kind of picking on the baby face guy about, right? Mm-hmm. So he was kind of the cool, cocky heel. Right. And that's kind of where MJF is right now. That cool, cocky, our scumbag heel. Now, John Cena obviously went in a different direction, but I see the comparison. I don't know if everyone else sees the comparison I'm making here, but it's Cena-esque in that way, to where Cena was this heel to begin with. Then he came out as this kind of same kind of heel, but the kind of heel that everyone got behind because he made the same references and cracks to the baby faces that everyone else made. At the time, it was online. So MJF is doing the same thing. He's making those online IWC kind of cracks at the heels that's going to make him the babyface.
Mm-hmm.
Did that make sense? I hope it did. Like I said,
I mean, basically,
had a few
he's
shots.
Doing the same, saying the same shit he says as a heel, but he's just doing it to heels now as a babyface.
Correct. It, you know what? To put it a better way, it's almost Sami Zayn-ish. Sami Zayn didn't change his heel and babyface persona all that much, but enough to where the crowd really started taking him in, and then he changed it. So I kind of feel we're getting that same thing here with MJF, and the crowd is taking to it the same way.
Sure.
So, but anyway, MJF did reach out after the match in a classic babyface move to get a handshake, but Parker and Menard stop it. They bring him back. MJF kind of says, you know, hey, are you your own man? Blah, blah, blah. Come shake my hand. Again, Garcia goes for it. And they stop him again. This seemed a little unnecessary to me. The whole after segment. But who am I?
To blow against the wind?
Exactly. It just seemed unnecessary. It didn't need to fucking happen. It didn't. But I guess after the little thing he did with Garcia, are you the sports entertainer? Are you the wrestler? I guess it kind of needed to happen, but it, the way this segment played out kind of meant to me that the other segment didn't even have to happen. This could have just been a flat match and no one gave a fuck. But filler, I get it. Filler, I don't know. Maybe I'm nitpicking.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, I get what you're saying, but then also during the promo, he was saying that Garcia reminded him of himself a little bit.
Right.
So, like, maybe he felt like he could see, he saw himself in Garcia, and he was trying to, like, kind of push him into the right direction, you know, because he was with Jericho too for a minute there, and then
yeah, It's just this show kind of felt like they were trying too hard with the babyface MJF.
Okay.
In some ways. I'm not, this was not a bad show, folks. I'm not saying that in any way. But it seemed like they were really working to make an agenda here to make MJF this really almost sympathetic babyface. Almost like if they were doing like a TV drama and this guy was trying to be the sympathetic character that you wanted to care for.
Right.
But he's a complete prick. So you've got a hard time caring for him. I don't know. But that's what I got out of it. But after that, folks, we get Darby Allin and Sting. They are have a match against the Outrunners. Smark, I think we've talked about it, this before, but you a fan of the Outrunners?
This is the first time that I saw them, and the answer is yes.
Yep.
It's like basically they have the whole FTR aesthetic, but without one of them being an insufferable douchebag.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my Lord. Talk about hitting a fucking nail on the head of what I was thinking. Exactly. And I think they have a better fucking look.
They do. They're fucking the blind mullets.
They've got the fucking... the mustaches. Exactly. The mullets, the mustaches, the old school. I like these guys, man. I hope they get a much better fucking run on this show because no pun intended, but I fucking love these guys right now. And this is one of the first or second times, I think this might be the second time we've seen these guys, but I like them. I definitely like them. I think these guys got some potential. I hope they start running with these guys a little bit. And I think these guys could be a very good tag team for this show.
I heard that.
Yep. After that, folks, Tony Schiavone, he's backstage. He's got Tony Storm and Lutha with him. And Sheeta. And they're having a little kind of backstage thing. And I'm sorry, folks. I still love these Tony Storm segments. The fact that they're all in black and white is great. But Tony Storm kind of playing off of this character she played in the movie she did is just amazing. I think she really is doing well on this character. And I'm every time she comes on, I'm looking forward to see the next week to where it progresses. And that's not something we see a lot anymore in wrestling.
No, not at all.
No.
Yeah, that you're actually interested in like the character development.
Yes, and her being absolutely gorgeous does not have anything to do with it. She's playing this character to a T, and it's making it intriguing.
Yes. Well, even just the small little touches, like, you know, they're having it, everything is in black and white, and like even on the match graphics that they're showing, like her picture is in black and white,
right? And then literally
everything, they're just so committed to it.
And then anytime they go away from her, it's in color.
Mm-hmm.
It is just, I love what they're doing. I think it's great. I know it's a sort of controversial thing. Not everyone loves it, but I think what they're doing with Tony Storm is great. And Lutha, Dr. Luther, now a little different role. Better this than nothing, right, folks?
Yeah. I mean, I literally cheers to Tony Storm or cheers to whoever came up with the idea, but I didn't think that there was anything you could do with him that would actually make me enjoy seeing him or enjoy like any segments that he was on the TV for. But hey, they fucking, where there's a will, there's a way. They figured it out.
No, Tony Storm will make you enjoy things you never thought you would.
Yeah, I did not have this on my bingo card at the beginning of the year that like the best part of Dynamite would be Tony Storm and Dr. Luther.
No, I did. That was not my bingo card anywhere. That wasn't that was an 064 or I-35. It just wasn't.
Nope.
But we did get Nana and Swerve coming out after that segment. It was Swerve versus Penta. This was a great match. Swerve really is over with this crowd, like genuinely, and I love it. And so is Nana, which is funny because it seems like the AEW crowd is just more geared towards the heels of this show than the babyfaces in a lot of instances. But it works. It just works. But they're really into Swerve here. Swerve gets the win immediately. Adam Page comes down. He comes out through the crowd. He's got a chair with him. Swerve runs, but Page catches up with him. He hits him with the chair once and then puts him through a table at the bottom of the ramp. I liked it. Good segment. This is something Hangman should be doing. Hangman should be doing this. And even the fact that the security was trying to get him to stop and to show, you know, just kind of show some remorse, and he didn't, went well with the segment.
Right.
So I did like this. What I gotta say something. I did not care for this next segment, folks. This was the segment, Smark, with Jericho and Omega backstage with the Bucks.
Yeah.
Oh my yeah. God. I'm so glad to hear you say it in that tone. I thought Jericho and Omega were okay. Omega just always looking just completely dejected in this segment didn't fly with me. It was like forced. Like, okay. It was like he knew Jericho was going to make this whole statement, but he was trying to pretend he didn't know Jericho was going to make this statement, which is probably the actual case in the fucking thing. But
like in a, like a fucking like a children's play, like a play at a school where yes! like, you can see that one of the actors is just clearly listening intently to make sure that they remember, like, okay, I know that this is the line and then it's my line. So once I hear the phrase the salmon, I jump in.
Right. And Omega is not supposed to look like he's knowing what, but he completely like looks completely unsurprised by what's going on here. Like, but he's trying. Like, he's like, oh man, you're going against my friends. But meanwhile, he's like, yeah, we should do this because this is in the script. You know, the best part of this segment was?
What's that?
I got to see Renee Paquette.
Well, there you go. I think all of it is kind of weird. Because, like, okay, Jericho and Omega are suddenly friends now. And they're friends now because they both hate Don Callis in storyline.
Right.
All right, sure. But then, like, he just, like, all of a sudden just, like, takes Jericho's side over the Young Bucks side, mm-hmm. even though, like, they have a long established, like, kayfabe, you know, tenure as friends, history as friends. Mm-hmm. But he's like, no, this guy that me and, you know, this guy that I hate Don Callis with is bigger priority to me than you guys are because my long standing friends. And then, like, also, you kind of had Chris Jericho doing the, like, show some respect to you fucking punk kids,
right?
To them, because they're talking about them, like, being, like, spoiled brats, shit. Like, they're too old to be the young punk kids now. Like, they've been there forever. Like, it's been fucking a decade now, you know? It's like,
yeah. I mean, eventually they're going to be coming out as fucking with gray hair as the Young Bucks. It's not going to fucking fly much longer. But, yeah. I mean, this is like the television show that's struggling with a storyline and just throws everything they can at the fucking shitter to see what sticks. I don't know. This one isn't clicking with me. It's not.
I mean, it hasn't for me either. Like, I didn't enjoy the Omega Callis feud, and now I haven't been enjoying the extension of the Jericho Omega Callis. Like,
no.
It's just going longer, and I didn't care about it in the beginning, and they've done nothing to change my mind.
I've never felt like something You know, you go through these fucking, I mean, as wrestling fans, we go through these shows and we try to forget that things feel like they're scripted and that they're planned, but this feels more scripted and planned than a lot of segments. I don't know why, but it almost feels like Omega knows the ending and no one else does. And he's trying to play like he doesn't. That make any sense?
Do you think the fact that you know that everybody involved is friends makes it like less believable?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because there are some people that are good enough to pull it off.
Yeah.
Because like for a while there that they had that like Triple H Shawn Michaels feud, like let's say like 2003, maybe 2004 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, you know that they're best friends, but they're good enough. They made it convincing enough. It's just like, we're just not getting that here. Like, you know that they're friends and they're not really doing anything to make it seem like it's not convincing enough. They're not good enough at suspending the disbelief of what's going on here.
You know, you bring up a good point. That kind of brings up the fact that, you know, and I got to bring, and I got to point to Omega in this. Is he just not actor worthy enough to pull off this fucking segment? Not this segment. This type of intense storyline?
It not be. I mean, he's not the greatest of promos, honestly. He's a hell of a wrestler. He's one of the best, but he's never really been a super great promo guy.
No, and then you got Jericho, who is an actor, basically. I mean, I was not in Hollywood or anything, but he's got the game show stuff and a few things that he's done in Hollywood, so... You've got Jericho, who, and let's face it, Jericho got a fucking pen over in WWE. Mm-hmm. Jericho got a clipboard over in WWE. But you put him with Omega, who is known for having great matches. But after that, Smark, what else is Kenny Omega known for?
Right.
That's it. One trick pony. So, yeah, I guess that's something to think about. Is Kenny Omega's just not doesn't have the acting chops, if you will, to pull off this story.
Also kind of doesn't help that it seems like there's a revolving door of like secondary characters that are being pulled into this too.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, you know, I think it's a good idea to have Hobbs with Callis, but you know, Hobbs is involved, and then they have like Kyle Fletcher is involved, Takeska's involved, but then Abushi's involved. It's like all these like additional secondary characters. Like there's just too much going on, and what is also going on is just not terribly interesting.
Yeah. It's a very convoluted, not great storytelling.
Convoluted is perfect for it.
Yeah. So anyway, we move on, folks. And Keith Lee and Samoa Joe, this is for the ROH TV Championship. Joe does end up choking out Keith Lee. And then Samoa Joe decides to vacate his chat. Kevin, nice to have you in the chat here. HC Kevin, appreciate it.
You know what I loved about before you get to the like uh-huh. what happened after the match? One of my favorite spot that happened during this match was that Joe did a senton to Keith Lee.
Mm-hmm.
But because Keith Lee is also a big guy, mm-hmm. He didn't affect him.
No.
He did the senton and then Keith Lee just like stood up and gave him a German suplex. I just, for whatever reason, I love that part of it. Just like, no, I'm also a big guy that doesn't have the same impact as if you did that to somebody who's small.
Yep, that was fat against fat, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. I fucking loved it too. It's two, not even like jacked dudes, but just two just big boys just fucking going at it.
Meat on meat, my man. You love that meat on meat, Smart. I know you do. But anyway, Joe did vacate, folks, the ROH title. So he has this match for it. Then he decides to vacate it because the next gold around his waist is going to be the AEW championship that he will win from MJF. So he vacates another title. And there you go. Once again, vacant is coming in. After that smark, we got Orange Cassidy and Hook in a little promo backstage, and suddenly Orange Cassidy is cutting promos, and this was probably the weakest of all of them.
Okay.
So, nothing really more to say on that, to be honest with you. I just thought this was a horribly weak Orange Cassidy promo that we've seen him cut in the last few weeks. So finally we get to the Guns versus the Bollywood Boys. I don't know, dude, Bollywood Boys, the crowd fucking loves these guys. They're going to have to push these guys in some way soon. The crowd loves them. It was a quick squash with the Guns winning the match. One of the Guns, whichever one has the bad hair and the horrible blackout tattoo on his armpit, was talking. He was saying something on the mic. I didn't even fucking care to write it down because to me, those guys are absolutely just fucking tune out, grab your phone television. Something about blah, 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 generational talent. I don't fucking know. But they're just blabbing on about whatever and whatever. But I got a picture of it. There it is. I'm sorry.
There you go.
Listen, I love the entrance with the whole, they're all back to back, the finger guns and the shit and that. But I got to tell you something. After this entrance, I am completely uninterested.
It's the interesting thing about them. Like you said, the entrance is cool. They're good wrestlers. And I like them when they're with Jay White and Juice Roberts.
Right.
Like, they're entertaining in that capacity. But then when you just isolate them as two individuals and you give them the microphone, it's not great.
No. Give me a MyPillow. I'll take a MyPillow because these guys are fucking putting me to sleep. It's just not, like you said, it's just not great. But I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm not expecting everything on the fucking show to be fucking, oh my God, must-see TV, but holy hell, give me something fucking compelling with these guys.
Right.
After this, folks, we get Mox and Wheeler backstage cutting a little promo. Good promo. But then we get Julia Hart versus a longtime no-see Red Velvet, folks. Back from injury. Looking wonderfully good. And she's against Julia Hart. Julia Hart, I love the... speaking of entrances, you want to talk about a cool entrance. Did you notice during her entrance that if the lights are on the crowd, it looks like the crowd is swirling?
Yeah. Yeah, they I don't know if they still do that with them, but they were doing that with just House of Black in general for a while there.
Right. It looks great, and I think the fact that they brought on her is even better. This character for her is working what they're doing. It's great, but Hart does get the win in the match, and she's attacking Red Velvet when Sky Blue comes down. Now, we see Sky Blue come down with Willow and Statlander. Julia is kind of in the middle of them. Now, I think we all know, folks, that this Sky Blue turn is coming sooner rather than later, correct, Mark?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But I like the way she's playing it off. But we see the more makeup she's putting on her eyes, the less makeup Aleister Black wears to the ring. So it's definitely, she's going to the dark side soon.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. But meanwhile, Chris Statlander, damn, where did she get them thighs?
I think she's always kind of had them. Just
where did she kinda... get them? Where did she get them thighs? I'm a thigh man. I like me some thighs.
Some drumsticks.
Oh yeah, I like drumsticks too. After that, folks, we get Mariah May, who may have had the most annoying voice that I've heard in a while. Out. But she's a former, she's from Stardom, and she's just, she's a fan of everybody. She's a huge fan of Toni Storm. They've got the same accent. This should go over pretty well in the long run, I think.
I do like how they're like opening up like kind of a universe for her. Because now Toni Storm has her own, like she has her own butler and she has her own like obsessed fan. So it's like, it's kind of, it's a little bit crazy that you sign somebody to bring them in like for that purpose. But it's still, I like what they're doing, because I'm like, I'm very curious to see how she's going to interact with Toni Storm and how she's going to become a part of that like universe that they're building around her. So that's interesting. I've seen her wrestle a couple of times, and I've watched a couple of Stardom shows. She seems like she's pretty good. I never heard her cut a promo, though, so I guess...
Well...
you said she had a very annoying... I don't mind it, because I don't know if she's Australian or not. I guess she is.
Well, and she was like, trying to be annoying.
I enjoy that accent.
Yeah, and she was trying to be annoying. I'm not saying, but I just want to know if she's going to keep wearing lingerie in every promo. If she is, I'm 100% with the character.
Maybe. Because if she's down, like a fan of Toni Storm, and Toni Storm's like kind of, I don't know like how, I can't even really think of like how to describe how she dresses, but like she has all like the fishnets and like bustiers and shit like that,
boudoir,
where it's like kind of revealing anyway.
Boudoir.
So I wouldn't be surprised if she kept doing that.
She's got that boudoir dress.
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
There you go. So, but anyway, we'll see where all that brings us. But we got into the main event after that, folks. Which was Mark Briscoe versus Jay White. Now, folks, why they would put Mark Briscoe in the ring with a guy named Jay baffles me also. I'm sure that didn't bring up any bad memories for him. Meanwhile, this match was pretty good. I did enjoy this match. After Jay White gets the win, MJF comes out. He was kind of trying to steal his title back, but instead he cut a promo, and finally we cut back to backstage where the Acclaimed are being attacked. Obviously, anyone that helps MJF is going to be attacked. They're being attacked. We see the henchmen, what I'm assuming these are the Devil's henchmen's mark. That's what you're supposed to assume, correct?
Right.
Okay. We see them. Anthony Bowens gets put through a glass window. Listen, folks, if you, I know it was fake. You know it was fake. We don't need to get into it. But it came off very well.
Hold on now. Was it real glass? Because that's created quite the controversy a couple months ago.
If it was, he would have got up and said, "This is real glass. Cry me a river."
Fuck you, Phil. This is real glass.
Fuck you, Phil. Cry me a river, bitch. No, he didn't say that, so I'm assuming this was sugar glass. Either way, the segment came off great. We get the Devil. And again, I love the fact that there's all this speculation online. Oh, this is the Devil. Now people are even saying it could be Dolph. It could be fucking Nick Nemeth. That's the Devil.
No way in hell. Like, I would be surprised if they brought him in, paired him with his brother, but no way in hell.
I mean, it's just, you know what? This is what fucking wrestling is supposed to do. You're supposed to see segments like this. You're supposed to take a fucking guess. You're supposed to be bringing up conversations. This is wrestling. You're supposed to be at clueless to what's going on until the fucking reveal. This is wrestling to me. I could be wrong, but this is what it's about, man.
All right, well, I have two things. First off, what the fuck is that room supposed to be? Because I noticed that while I was watching this, that there was this, they just had like somebody just standing in that room.
Oh, that's the green room.
At the table.
It's a green room. It's a green room. Waiting to come in.
I see. Okay. All right. It's answered. Part two. You know whose name I've never heard? Because I've heard like every fucking name in the world floated around it, who this devil could be.
Mm.
So let me add another name, but please, a name that surprisingly enough has not been uttered yet.
Okay.
What if it was Joe? Like, what if Joe just like took out everybody that's been helping MJF so that MJF would have to go to Joe for help, and then Joe gets his title match?
I see where you're going, but that there's no way that character is the size of Joe.
No, I know that. I know, but he does not match the silhouette. No, you right. could still flip that around in the reveal.
You're right. Joe could be paying the guy. Joe, I definitely, you know what? That's not a bad idea. But that still leaves who's under the mask.
Right.
It doesn't get rid of the fact of who would Joe be paying. Is Joe paying Jungle Boy? Is it fucking Adam Cole under the mask? Is it Roderick Strong under the mask and his crew? Is it that? So even if you answer who's behind the attacks, you still don't get who's under the mask. So you just added a fucking layer to it, man. I like it.
I'm curious, but that's the thing. It's like, this is definitely going to be one of those things where you just have to enjoy the journey and not so much the destination. Because no matter who it is, the longer they draw this out, I want them to draw it out for a long time because I'm having fun with it.
Right.
But when they end up making the reveal, like, it's gonna be anticlimactic. I feel like it almost has to be. Unless, like, whatever they have after the reveal, like where the story leads after that, is really good and they have something planned there, which is entirely possible.
Mm.
But it's just like, there's going, no matter what happens, no matter who it is, there's going to be like, there's going to be a portion of people that are like, oh, that's awesome. And there's going to be a portion of people that are like, oh, that fucking sucks. So it's like, it's very interesting.
I do think,
oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No. I'm just agreeing with you. Please keep going. You're...
I was going to say, they have done a fucking amazing job with Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just like everything that they're doing with Joe right now. Because, like, they had Joe just, like, beat up this big... Like, okay, Keith Lee hasn't been doing much, but still, just visually watching Joe, you know, like, beat his ass with something. That was fun. And then you have Joe as this, like, henchman, or this heavy, almost, where it's, like, if you know, him going to MJF and being like, look, if you... I will help you, and I will make your small problems go away. But then I will become a much bigger problem for you. And then just the idea that MJF is like, knows that Joe would help him just take care of all of his issues. But then he doesn't want to wrestle Joe because Joe like almost hurt him last time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this idea that like, I feel like in most instances, if you had your champion just straight up be afraid of some guy, it would make the champion look like shit and it would be bad for the belt and that kind of stuff. But with this particular instance, it works. Like, it makes Joe look like such a fucking, like, monster.
And Joe coming up right after the whole incident and kind of fucking with him would make total sense that he's behind all this.
Yeah. And also just the idea that he's, like, so for sure that he's going to get his title shot and that he's going to win the title, that he's just going to vacate the title that he already had, which they also mentioned that he held for longer than anybody else. Like, it just makes him look like it. They have done a great job of rectifying a lot of the shit that they did with him when he first got there.
Oh, yeah. I think you're onto something here, man. I think you're onto something. We'll see what happens, but that was AEW's mark. So
none of the matches really made sense from a storyline perspective of like why they were happening, but then they were all full of people that I liked. So like I really enjoyed the show because like fucking Pentagon and Swerve, like, oh my god, like I was so fucking excited for that when I started watching and I saw Joe versus Keith Lee on the match graphic. I was like, oh, this is gonna be a fucking great show. And then like they set it up on Collision, so I knew that Mark Briscoe versus Jay White was coming, but it was still just like, it was just people I wanted to see wrestle each other. Like, it didn't make a terrible lot of sense, but it was fun to watch.
Man, that's actually a great idea. You get Joe doing that. He comes out of this whole thing, win or lose, he's got a faction with him.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this could be good, man. I think you're onto something here, Smark. I think you're, I think you got something. Something going there, man. But that's pretty much it. I don't got anything else, man. You?
Not at all. Real quick, as an
right.
aside, Mondays, 8:30 p.m. Totally inappropriate team sports.
Oh,
That's where
yeah.
kids, where kids
Team?
go.
You added the word team?
Yep, that was actually my idea. I will take credit for that because I was like, you know, it does seem like an oversight that we didn't throw team in there just to make it tits because it was TIS for a long time. And I was like, come on, this is staring you right in the face. We got to fix this.
That's right. There's no I in team.
But there's
Nice, man.
two T's in tits.
There is two beautiful T's in tit. I agree. But anyway, definitely, folks, go check out Smark over there. Let's talking more sports. And I guess that's all we got for tonight, folks. I could use something to eat. I have not had dinner yet. And I've had a few shots. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I had a great time tonight talking wrestling. I want to thank the chat room for coming in. Norab, I saw you in here. I saw Noe. I saw HC Kevin 20. I'm not sure who that is, but thank you for coming in. I appreciate it. Hope to see you back here. And folks, like us, subscribe to us. Tell your friends about us. Tell your friends to tell their friends and tell them to tell their friends to tell their friends. And on that note, folks, appreciate you listening. Appreciate you downloading. And we will not be back next week. Smark, I actually will be by myself and my daughter next week, which means it's going to be very hard for me to do a show with her running around. I will not be here next week, or obviously, I don't think we want to do a show on Thanksgiving, right?
No.
So, if it's okay with you that we take 2 weeks off, we will see you guys after Thanksgiving. All right, folks. And that will be it. But yeah, I need next week off. It's just with my daughter and me only. It's very tough for me to do a show. I think you guys understand. And it's not right. I'd rather hang out with her than talk wrestling. So I that might seem wrong, but I'd rather hang out with my daughter. So I'm gonna hang with my daughter next week while my wife is going camping. And we will see you guys after Thanksgiving. Have a great Thanksgiving, Smark, you too. I'll talk to you before then. But everyone else, have a great holiday. See you after Thanksgiving and have a great turkey day. Gobble fucking gobble. See ya.
Yes.
All right.